by Dominic is already 139. It's on the block, we'll talk about it. And as I said, our focus this afternoon is with Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Everybody's lips from yesterday. We've heard of an economic conference taking place at the Jungle Bay Resort in the south on the 4th to the 6th. That will attract, we expect, a number of regional and international professionals speaking to the economy. I notice that a lot of persons out there are locked into the program. I will allow your calls. Given what I've noticed there on my WhatsApp messages, there seem to be some personal attacks. On Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Let me warn you in advance. My right is to protect my guest. So I will not allow no disrespect. Okay, I just want to warn you in advance. You might have a different view, a different opinion, but please be respectful of the leader of the United Workers Party. If you want to go on, you know I have access to that switch, and I have enough experience to show or to tell just where you're going or heading, huh? So on that note, let me say a special good afternoon to Dr. Fontaine, who's a great to be with me for the hour. Good afternoon, Dr. Fontaine.
Matt, good afternoon to you and to your many listeners. It's my pleasure to be once again with you. To continue our conversation that we started a couple days ago. So let me just say a special good afternoon to all those who are tuned in at this time.
Dr. Fontaine, our focus this afternoon there is the Economic Forum planned for June, early June?
Early June, correct.
Okay, so tell me what's the focus on this?
So the Economic Forum is intended to bring together Dominicans from across a series of backgrounds and different places to kind of focus in a way probably that we've not done before. The theme of this summit is planning for sustainable development. So that is basically the first stage in that planning process, where we will sit together, we will analyze the various sectors of the economy, and we will identify some of the challenges that we are faced with, and more importantly, we'll try to come up with ways in which we can overcome those challenges, mm-hmm. ways in which we can certainly do better, and even in areas where we have not done much, like the knowledge industries, for example, we can define a new ways of accessing those industries so that we can begin to put together a plan that will be useful for the development of the country going forward.
An economic summit, is it needed?
It is, Matt, because what we wanted to do is to show that there is so much more that can be done. I mean, at the end of the day, the economy impacts every single Dominican. If it is working, then every Dominican benefits. If it is not working, then it works against all Dominicans. So it plays a very pivotal role in people's lives, in their well-being. It determines our level of health. It determines our level of well-being. So it is very, very critical, and it's something that, that really needs a lot of planning. It's not something you can just go into and do like vai-ki-vai. It calls for a lot of planning. It calls for a lot of deliberate focus on it. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we'll be attempting to do on those 2 days there, between the 4th and the 6th.
What sectors specifically will be addressed?
So we are looking, what we've done is to look at about 6 sectors. We're looking at agriculture. We're looking at the tourism sector. We are looking at construction. Also the renewable energy sector. Then we are looking at manufacturing, the knowledge industry, and then we are looking at sports, entertainment, and music. Mm-hmm. So basically nine areas, if you like. Nine areas.
Looking at, yeah. I just want to go back and rewind the tape a bit. The focus or the initiative of this summit was taken by who?
That initiative was when I first took over the leadership of the party, in fact, when I was re-elected leader, just this past December, after my re-election, when we had our first press conference, I told the Dominican public that as part of my vision for this country, mm-hmm. it would be to have an economic summit in the first half of this year. So that is carrying through with that. It is something that we've discussed within the party, because it was part of the vision for the party that I outlined. So it's a party initiative, but we've since moved to invite the Electoral Reform Coalition, which is made up of a number of diverse groups, and that's the reason why we wanted to include them with us, because the ARC, because of their makeup, although their focus is on electoral reform, but because of the makeup, there are a number of diverse groups. You have, you know, the Civic Vibe group, you have the Freedom Party in there, you know, the Workers' Party itself is there. You also have the NJAM as part of it, and the group by Coffee, I'm trying to remember now.
CCM,
you know. So you have a number of different groups that constitute the Electoral Reform Coalition. So we thought it was a natural fit to get them on board with us with the planning to really set this out. Because as you can well imagine, it takes quite a lot of planning to get this done. It is not an easy thing to pull together. It's going to take, it has taken several hours of planning already, and the planning continues. So that's basically how it has evolved.
All right, because I'm getting some feeling that there's some opposers to that summit, that the entire management of the UWP may not be happy with this summit.
Matt, well, I don't know about that. What I can tell you is that the management of the party is quite happy. I think there has been some suggestions about the location. I think that's where people have been concerned about. But that is something that we were looking to attract 100 persons, at least 100 persons. Mm-hmm. And the only conference room in Dominica that can afford us that is the Jungle Bay Resort. We thought that it is good to have it where, because we need a particular setup for this. I mean, we are not just coming to a political rally. That's not a political meeting. This is a planning session where you have to break up into smaller groups. You need those breakout rooms, for example. Mm-hmm. You need the setup of the communication setup that will allow people to come in from overseas. So there is a specific thing you're looking for, which you can only find within a conference room setting. So it's not just a matter of going in a hall and speaking. And that's what people seem to fail to understand, that out of necessity, we had to do it because there is no other place.
We looked at the only conference room of its type.
Of its type. And in terms of the size, in terms of number of people, you will not be able to accommodate these numbers there in Fort Young, for example. We considered the parish hall as another possibility. But then when we did the costing,
obviously, I'm an economist. My first idea, my first thought always is about cost. When we did the costing in terms of what it would cost to do it at the parish hall, because we have to basically bring in everything compared to something that's already there and the discounts that we could get from negotiating, it made a lot of sense to do it.
So your decision was not influenced by any outsider, if you will, quote unquote?
No, it was not. It was influenced by what had to be done, by the necessity of having it there, you know. And I don't even understand why that is a problem. This is a Dominican business. Are we somehow suggesting that the WLP should be boycotting businesses in Dominica? I don't get it. You know, it is really a business. I understand that there has been some issues, obviously, with concerning the owner of Jungle Bay and the party. But at the same time, Matt, this is a company that hires over 80 Dominicans employed there. These are Dominican people that are employed. The idea that you're doing it, for the leader of the, for the owner of the accommodation, I don't think that's right. I think it is really short-sighted, you know. And as I said, we looked, as part of the planning committee, we looked at all the possibilities. And at the end of the day, that was the most appropriate, and that's what we'll be doing. And we're going forward with it.
Who are you trying to attract in terms of who will be delivering speeches, their addresses?
We are looking at very specific experts, in the sense that persons who know their areas, who know the area of agriculture, who know the area of manufacturing, persons who have a track record of working in that area. So we are looking at, in a sense, experts, in that sense, people who understand those particular areas. So, for example, when we're looking at the geothermal area or renewable energies, we are tapping into a gentleman by the name of Dexter Newton, who is now head of a project in the U.S. Department of Energy. He's doing a project specifically on renewable energies for the United States. So hopefully he can do it for Dominica. So that's the kind of expertise that we are looking at. Persons who have demonstrated capability in those areas, that will help us think through. Because, when you're planning, mm-hmm. you must have the ability to be able to think through the issue, think through the problem. Okay, we're looking at agriculture. What are its challenges? How can we make it work for Dominica? How can we improve it? What areas we need to look at? Is it crop insurance? Is it the actual production? Is it the supply side? So you need people who can actually frame very, very carefully the areas that needs to be focused on. And so that's what we'll be looking at in terms of the people.
Quote unquote, an economic summit.
Yes.
What's the position of the economy as we speak?
The economy is in dire straits, to say the least, and that's putting it mildly. Our economy has suffered and has been suffering for a very long time. And that's, in fact, part of the reason why we're having this summit, because what we want to do, in a way, is to show that there are things that can be done. And let me just put it out there, Matt. Our concern is for the people of Dominica. So coming out of this summit, if there are things that the government decides to take on board and implement, I have no issues with that, because at the end of the day, what we really want to see is an improvement in the lives of the people. And sometimes we tend to look at things in too much of a very fragmented political kind of thing. My thing is, I'm Dominican. I'm doing this for Dominica. I am my own skill as an economist. Over many years now, having worked in Dominica, worked throughout the region, Asia, Africa, all over the place, having a deep understanding and appreciation for how the economy works. Want to bring that skill set to Dominica. Want to bring it to improve the life of Dominicans. And so, we are doing it that way because we feel that that is the best way to do it in terms of being able to attract the kind of results that we want, which is a practical way to move this economy forward.
You seem pretty pessimistic about the economy going forward, but the IMF, you were a former employee of the IMF, they seem to be giving a more optimistic picture.
Yeah, Matt, the picture from the IMF is not necessarily optimistic. What it is that it's a reality coming out of a recession. Coming out, not a recession. In a way, it is a recession that was caused by the pandemic, the COVID pandemic of 2019, when the economy contracted by some 16%. So because the economy fell, and if you go back in the history, if you look, for example, at the Dominica's economy in 1980, the year 81, 82, the 3 years after Hurricane David, where we had a loss of about 25% of our GDP in 1979, you will see that those 3 years recorded some of the highest growth rates we've ever recorded in Dominica. All right, and for the very simple reason that the economy was recovering from 2019, from 1979. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have no difference there. Because you've had this big decline in the economy in 2019, the years 21, 22, 23 will show a much higher growth rate. But the economy will always return to what we call its natural state. It will move to that place where it used to be before 2019. And before 2019, it was growing at an average of about 1%, and that's where it's going to continue, because nothing fundamental has been done to change that shift. That's
basically another troubling issue there by some of your supporters, or many of your supporters, is the question of whether the government, the DLP government, will be invited to that to participate or to present.
But by now, people will know that I'm not your traditional politician in that sense. As I said, the economy is not a political party thing, because when the economy fails, every single person suffers. It's like the rain on your rooftop kind of thing. It falls on you, it falls on your neighbor equally. So, you know, the idea that we can be planning, and there are people within the public service, many of them that will go on to serve in our administration when we take over the office. There are lots of public servants who will continue. By the nature, they are public servants. Their first duty is to the state. These people will continue to be there, you know. So and they have something to offer as well. So I see absolutely nothing wrong in offering that to them, and asking to see if we can get some of their insights into what's going on and how we can better improve it.
Versus like the Prime Minister, the Finance Minister, they are the experts in their field.
Well, the Prime Minister is not an expert, not by any stretch of the imagination. So he will not be invited to necessarily speak. What we would like to invite him for is to listen to some of the things coming out of this conference,
the
and how some of the recommendations, how we can better improve the lives of Dominicans going forward. Is that's how we actually view it, you know. But you know, man, I don't know. I don't get it. You know that people get so riled up when you say you're going to invite government and so on, and you're going. I don't get it. Why should we be constantly fighting? I know we have had nasty things to say. We've done different things. I've been dragged before the courts like the rest of my colleagues in a party. But at the end of the day, we are trying to build a country. We are trying to fecono. We are trying to, you know, to understand ourselves in a way, you know, and continuing with any kind of
this,
yeah, continuing in that way, that constant, you know, vex and vexatiousness, and you know, and just always trying to get a one up on the other side, you know. I mean, let us fight our battles politically, but at the end of the day, if you're talking about something like the economy, where it concerns all of us, where we can equally benefit or fail, we have to face it and deal with it that way.
All right. I want to say good afternoon to the deputy political leader of the United Workers Party, the same Ronald Charles. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon to you, Matt, and good afternoon to all your listeners. You have been able to captivate audiences, not just from the north, but from the south, east, and the west. And good afternoon to the most listened to station and your staff. Matt, it has always been a pleasure to be there alongside Dr. Thompson Fontaine. I think Dr. Thompson Fontaine have expressed and have articulated what we are planning from the June 4th to the 6th. Collectively, holistically, and I think that is important. I mean, at the end of the day, you cannot blame persons from speaking out their mind. things. You know, it's unfair to, you know,
it's a democratic.
Yeah, you have to make people speak. You have to make people, you know, being able to vent. And because persons over the past years have been introduced to a kind of politics that makes you want to remain in a certain square. But I think with the leadership of Dr. Thompson Fontaine, which I've endorsed, is that sometimes the pain will come, but joy will come in the morning. That's all I have to say.
All you have to say on this. But again, as I spoke to Thompson earlier, there seem to be some elements, as he said, angry at what's going on there, the summit. What would be your take on that?
Some
within your party.
Well, I according to Dr. Fontaine and what I will say, I am not too sure about this. I mean, I would not stand here and say I'm not hearing persons, I'm hearing voice notes. In the middle of it, I shut it down because, I mean, I have more important things to do. But as I said, you know, if persons have a right to express themselves, I mean, come on. Whatever issue they may be able to look at the situation, but the bottom line is the man to my right, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, envisaged something when he became the political leader in December of 2023. And he had a press conference, and these were the things that he was talking about. And he also talked about, you know, bringing people together, having a holistic approach towards the development of Dominica. Notwithstanding that, it doesn't mean that because you have a holistic approach, you have to forget the policies of the incumbents that has not yet bear any fruits to the people of Dominica. And therefore, that is why, you know, I think, and I can be subjected to correction, but if I were to recall the conversation with Curtis Matthew yesterday, mm-hmm. Curtis Matthew, I believe, and I can be subjected to corrections, put it in a good way, they will be in opposition, so you have to invite them to the economic conference. Let them start getting used to it.
Are you that confident about that?
Of course, but Matt, listen, this is a wave that is eating Dominica. And the wave emanated not because of what we're doing now, but it's more so of the incumbent's style and fashion of leadership that has failed the people of Dominica, from agriculture to tourism to the justice system, just name it. And therefore, the word change is this time around is being used to the highest extent. And change is coming very, very soon.
Thompson, before you get to the place of being the next Prime Minister of Dominica, as you said confidently there, you have to win the Grandville seat. Hmm. Are you confident that you'll do that?
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Absolutely, Matt. Not only the Grandville seat, but at least plus 10, you know, to start. So, yeah, you know, what I like about the what's going on in Grandville, when I contested that seat in 2014, I mean, I did not lose the election. Remember, I had 21 spot ballots against me, and I was told I lost in the end by 3 votes or something. So I did not lose the seat. So 10 years later, it's a different thing altogether. You have a number of persons in my community who are disillusioned, a number of persons in my community who have not realized a dream or their dream under this Dominica Labour Party. They have suffered. They have not been able to do much in terms of improve their lives to any great extent because the opportunities simply have not been there. Some of them have gotten some work within the NAP, true. But at the end of the day, they've not been able to translate that to getting a loan. Some of them have been able to get some housing. But even then, sometimes they have issues, you know, in terms of being able to maintain, you know, paying for it and so on, paying for the services like water and that kind of thing. So I think what you have is a very different situation from what existed in 2014. From my interaction with them, with the people of my village and so on, it is clear. And they will tell you that, yeah, now is your time. Now is your time. And so I believe that. I believe they will stand with me. I believe there is a historic opportunity for the very first time in the history of Dominica to have a prime minister come in from the east of the country or the southeast. And that alone is a cause for excitement. People are excited about it. They're telling you that. They're saying, well, yeah, we're going to have a prime minister in that from our area. And it's already a sense of pride. It's already it's a sense of joy for them. So I think that all of these those issues are working very positively. Of course, I still have to continue doing my work. I'm not going to take it for granted. Rest assured, I will be pounding the pavement. I'll be knocking on every door. I'll be visiting every person. Absolutely, Matt. Every chance I get, every time I'm here in Dominica, I do that too. You know, I hardly do anything else all outside of being probably talking to you sometimes and then trying my best to be on the ground and reaching, visiting, revisiting, talking, retalking, you know, because it's not always easy in terms of getting it done one time. You know, people need to see you, they need to be able to feel you, to touch you, to feel your pulse, and so I'm doing that very successfully in that sense. And I just want to thank the people of Granford for being welcoming, even those who are openly supporting the government. They open their doors to me and so on, and that's what I want us to feel like we are, even if we might have differences in opinion, we can still invite each other for a cup of tea, we can still, you know, invite each other for a bite, we can be civil to each other,
you know,
and that is happening quite a lot. That's happening quite a lot, and it's different, Matt, because when I campaigned in 2014, there was this constant hostility sometimes, you know, and you could tell it. You people would just, by the way they looked at you, you could sense it. Now it is different. I mean, persons who were even sometimes even openly hostile, now they're a lot more accommodating. So there is in fact a difference. This is a long answer to the question to say absolutely, very very confident, but not taking anything for granted. Still have to do the work. Still have to do the knocking on the doors. Still have to do the asking for the votes, and that will be done in the weeks and months ahead.
Ronald, I want to ask you the very question. Very same question. Yes, the question is, will you be confident to capture that seat in the valley you have tried?
Well, Matt, let's take it differently. The first thing, I must be endorsed by the people of the Rosa Valley through a process, and that is the Constituency Association for the Rosa Valley.
Okay.
Must endorse and say this is the man. If they were to do this, they have to have reasons to do so. And I think if I am endorsed, I will definitely do what I have to do. Of course, we have to go for the process of candidacy, and once I've given the opportunity, I'll do what I have to do. But let me just say that representing people is not just an 8-to-4 job, 24/7. So almost around a yearly activity. And sometimes you find yourself having to put your own development on hold, your own dreams and aspirations on hold for the betterment of the people that are around you. I've tried to do this. I mean, I may not have, you know, I've tried my best, and there are areas to be improved. Nonetheless, I know that the people of the Rosa Valley know that the same Ronald Charles has tried his best over the past 20, 25 years, continuously been engaged in different sporting activities, in community development, in music, entertainment, and of course the legal service that I provide. I think I'm in a good position to be selected, and if I am, I will try my best, but the people would have to decide this.
All right, I just want to go back to a statement made by the leader of the United Workers Party sometime, and everybody seemed to be talking about. I'll play it for you, Thompson, and then you can analyze and respond. Let's listen to you.
It is clear that this country of ours cannot continue to go down that path. And our stand on 6 December, and to use the word of U.S. President Roosevelt, on a day that will go down in infamy, is to stand our ground, to not give up, but rather to keep pushing until that day when there are free and fair elections in Dominica. We will continue to pursue electoral reform, and will continue to demand that as soon as those reforms are completed, and no later than the first quarter of 2024, that we have new elections in Dominica.
Yes. those of us in Dominica, we have to be the masters of our own destiny. We have to be the ones to force the point of electoral reform. We have, and that's the responsibility that we have as an opposition, we have to continue to push that process. We have to continue to insist on electoral reform, and we have to take, after this break that we're given by our supporters, they're now looking to us for leadership on this issue. Force the point of electoral.
All right, so Thompson, was there a change of mind about this? You seem to be in a more, if you will, a more vibrant mood. You wanted protest action. Now you seem to be a little cool on that.
Matt, in what I just heard, did I talk about protest action? I said we have to continue pursuing if everything that we have.
So have you stopped pursuing?
We have not. I mean, you know, electoral reform, and when I was here with you on a couple of days ago, I made it very clear that electoral reform is still front and center of what we are demanding and what we need to have here in Dominica. But we also said that there have been promises made with regards to that, just that issue. I also reported that in a conversation with the Attorney General, he assured that they were within basically days of bringing some type of legislation forward. So the process is moving ahead, you know, and that's the reason why I was saying that we need to be, in that sense, we need to be patient, because we are getting the end result. What we want is electoral reform. We are getting there. No, we have not seen the legislation,
exactly.
So we can't sign off on it. We have to see what is in there first. Now, once we see what is in the legislation, then we'll decide our next steps, you know. But the idea that I've somehow backed away from electoral reform could not be further from the truth. You know, we continue to demand electoral reform, and we continue to demand the cleansing of the voters' list, voter registration cards, and access to the national radio station. This has not changed at all, and that's what we continue to push for and pursue.
So you have not changed your mind about it?
I've not changed my mind about it at all, Matt. And anybody who would suggest that you know, that I've changed my mind is certainly not
justice. They're suggesting that you've become soft all of a sudden.
But, well, you know, well, soft, well. I mean, I've heard this criticism being leveled by my detractors, you know, but, you know, when I was small, you know, there used to be some bad boys in the community.
Bad boys.
And when they have a problem, they would go, they would run for their cutlass, and they would be slamming it on the pitch, you know, like on the road and so on. Like, they're so bad. I want to display that, you know, the band. So at the end of the day, you found that these guys were not ready. they woke up with anything else, you know. Yeah, so a lot of times people that they're talking and flaring up and so on, when you think they're the bad ones, may not be. You know, still waters run very, very deep, and you should not just assume that because I am not, you know, banging my cutlass on the road, that I am soft. Far from it, Matt.
So you're not the militant type. Your approach is different.
You know, I grew up in militancy. You know, I was at 14 years old. I was in a group of SMA boys who were there marching, you know, down on the ministry and so on. Always at the center of that, you know. Always believe that you have to push for what you want, but also believe that there is a place and a time for everything. There is timing, and timing is everything. When you do what is going to ultimately depend on the success of what you are doing. You know, so and then also, Matt, as I grow older, I also find out that you have to be planning very, very carefully, in the sense that in your deliberations you must think about outcomes. You must be able to visualize, or you must be able to see that if I do action A, action B may respond out of it. And if action B responds, how then do I react to it? So it's not just about being out there, as I said, slamming your cutlass on the turf and showing that you're a bad boy and you know, nah, it's more subtle than this. And also, Matt, there is a certain level of responsibility that goes with being a leader. You know, when you're a leader, you have to weigh very carefully your actions, because now your actions impact not only yourself, but others who will be impacted, and that has always to be weighing at the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. One of your constituents, I think one of your big supporters, says, remind Thompson that Rivière Syrique and Montjoie are included in that constituency.
Oh, Matt, when you say Grand Four, I just assume you're talking about the constituency. Of course, my peeps there in Fréal and in fact, Matt, you know, the most of the support, I mean, we've won hands down in Rivière Syrique and Montjoie for the past several election cycles. So, yeah, they are well aware of that. When I speak, although I may have said Grand Four, but I was speaking of the Grand Four, Montjoie, Rivière Syrique, Montréal, Montfrégat constituency.
All right. I think we can take a few phone calls now and we'll have some interaction. But before we do so, you can start calling. But let me just ask Thompson Fountain a question that I think on everybody's mind. CBI and where we are this time.
Okay. Matt, the CBI appears to have taken a hit based on the same IMF report that you talked about earlier. It showed a 52% reduction in the revenues from CBI over the past year, and what it tells me is that the fact that the British removed or imposed visa restrictions on Dominica has had a very bad impact on the CBI receipts, and in addition to that, the fact that now we've been forced, as it were, to increase the price from 100,000 to 200,000, that is also having some impact. So it does appear as if the CBI is being reduced very, very, very much.
Will you continue with the CBI if...
You know, I don't believe the CBI is sustainable, and for me, it would be to wean us out of it as quickly as possible. And the way you do that is to develop your other sectors so that you don't have to depend upon the CBI. I think I always thought it was not done well. And you cannot have, I mean, now we have some 45,000 Dominicans rapidly approaching our natural population. I don't like that ratio. I think it has really outlived its usefulness and its purpose, and we need to look elsewhere for the fortunes for Dominica.
So what would be your priorities in terms of in the alternative?
Priorities, definitely agriculture. I keep pressing that every chance I get. We have rich, fertile land that can produce the kind of crops that we need, the kind of produce that we need that can then be manufactured. You know, agriculture definitely will be the number one priority, and that, of course, we're going to tie into the knowledge industry and all other sectors, the traditional sectors like tourism and manufacturing, certainly.
All right, again, I'm going to start taking phone calls, but I've said I've made a preamble before I started. I want you to be very respectful. I've noticed some anger out there. And if you can be respectful of Dr. Thompson Fountain or Mr. Ronald Charles, we will put the switch on you, okay? So please ask your question, be short, and let's take more phone calls. Hello, talk to me, yes.
Yes, good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to Dr. Fountain and to Charles.
Yes, good afternoon.
Let me say, I am fully supportive of Mr. Dr. Fountain. I personally like the approach. I love the approach you're taking. You know, we want a change in Dominica, but that has to go with all of us. You know, the bigger we support a political party, that we have to look down on the other party. Forget the other party. The leaders is the problem. The people who support the party is different. We are all inclusive in whatever to happen in Dominica. You know? We know Dr. Fountain is a man out there, right? A diplomat out there, helping other countries. So that alone is an open experience for him. So we in the United Workers Party, together, as I said already, I have no personal thing against nobody who supports the party. The thing is, when it's election time, we support our party, we campaign, we ask people to vote for us and those kind of things, you know? But when it comes after election, all of us have to come together to make Dominica what it is. If we have to criticize what the government is doing, we have to. Government is doing wrong, we have to say it. But we're not going to hit people. As I personally say, I have nothing against the prime minister of the country, you know. The problem, my problem, the personal problem, no thing, but what I don't like about him is the way that he runs the country and say wrong things and lie to people and make believe and cripple the nation how it is now. But personally, Dr. Fountain, I like your approach, and You will always get people to criticize, but I will tell you straight, the people who criticize don't want to see better for Dominica. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. A WhatsApp message from the diaspora reads, Dr. Thompson Fontaine is on point. He demonstrates great leadership qualities and comes across as being poised, intelligent, and someone who can bring the people together. He stands miles ahead of Prime Minister Skerrett. All the best, Dr. Fontaine, in your undertaking. Empty vessels make the most noise. Wow, this guy is so profound and deliberate in his response. All right, let's go to the telephone at this time, another phone call. Yes? Uh-huh. I'm here.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you, yes.
And let me say a special good afternoon to our distinguished leader, mm-hmm. the Honorable Dr. Thompson Fontaine.
Good afternoon, good afternoon.
And our deputy political leader.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, Matt, I would like to say here this afternoon for the record, I am one of the old heads of the party. Mm-hmm. The United Workers Party is 36 years old, and I am 34 years with the party. I'm a former two-time candidate of the party, a former vice president of the party, a former member of the management of committee of the party for over 20 years, a former member of the nominations committee of the party for years. So I believe that I am in a position to say a few things about, you know, the party. I believe Dr. Thompson Fontaine and his team, that's the operative word, his team. We're not a one-man show. We don't do any one-man shows in the United Workers Party. His team, Dominica, with the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine and his team, I believe they are the best team that we can put forward to get the country moving again. Matt, just this week, I was talking to a young man in Portsmouth, and he told me that his business, as though things are so bad as though over the last couple of months, it looked as though somebody passed a hand on him. So I tell him, no, nobody didn't pass the whole hand on you. The economy is bad, and it's going to get even worse. Wait till around August, September, later down this year, it is going to get even worse than it is right now. So thumbs up to Thompson Fontaine. I want to urge all our party supporters, everybody, let us rally behind Dr. Thompson Fontaine, our political leader, and his team. And as long as we can do that, the sky is the limit. Good luck, guys.
All right. Thank you. Let's take a voice note there again from the diaspora.
Hey, Matt, as usual, great program. Very interesting. Hello to Ronald Charles and also to the leader of the opposition, Mr. Thompson Fontaine.
The leader of the United
Matt,
Workers
while
Party.
I appreciate the, the composure of Thompson Fontaine. Mm-hmm. He's very confident, soft-spoken. As he said, still waters run deep, and I believe that. Some of us like to beat our chests, you know, like King Kong and you know, deep down, nothing, not there. But Matt, we're talking about a different political climate. We're not talking about the 70s and the early 80s. Just look at what happened. When the UWP came and took over, Matt, it was not an easy road. These people, and I admire them, Matt. I admired. They were bold. They were fearless, Matt. They're almost like savages. I mean, they just came in there with a different style of politicking, and they got in there, Matt. They got in there, and I wish I could see that, you know? And we have our reservations where Mr. Fontaine is concerned because of his, you know, easy-go-lucky kind of style, you know? Matt, for me, I am militant, Matt. Matt, I raised up with three brothers and it was a constant fighting. I had to find my place, you know? So I'm kind of a little bit of a rebel. I know myself, Matt. So maybe I know that I cannot impose my rebellion on Dr. Fontaine. You know, he has his style. But Matt, we're looking at a different political climate, right? And in that political climate, Matt, we do not need cat paws, Matt. We need lion roars. You don't have to beat your chest like King Kong or come out with your branding with your cutlass mat. But you can be really bold and fearless, Matt, in other types of ways. You see? Because the climate, the political climate that it is right now, Matt, is not of the 70s. We need a lion roar, not cat paws, Matt.
All right. Thank you. I'm getting there from this caller that we need a militancy.
Yeah, but Matt, you know, at the end of the day, one thing that never changes in politics is that you have to win the hearts and minds of the voter. It's plain and simple. So the strategy that we have adopted right now is to make sure we can do that. And that's why I'm very proud of my deputy. Every Tuesday, he has a committee. He takes a day out of his office to go on the ground and talk to the community, spend time with them. You know, that's how he's going to win this seat. You know, so yeah, I mean, you know, you can do all, you can say and do everything. By the end of the day, you got to come back to the voters. And then when you come back to the voters, you need the voters to say, yes, I have seen you, I have heard you on the ground, and I'm prepared to vote for you. So the battle for hearts and minds is what we engaged in.
All right, another text message. It reads, the economy is so bad that for the very first time, small business owners are now leaving Dominica and are opening businesses in St. Lucia. This was unheard of in the last 60 years. Are you surprised, Doctor?
Not surprised that people are moving out. I mean, it is tough. You know, the incomes have stagnated in Dominica for many, many years. We've not had any serious wage increases to speak of. So people are doing more with a lot less these days, and they cannot support the businesses as they normally would. So yeah, it's not surprising to me that people have to take this drastic action.
All right, more phone calls. Yes, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Matt, and good afternoon to our deputy political leader and our astute political leader, Dr. Thompson Fontaine.
Thank you.
Matt, I am not even at home, but you know I'm always on my running. And someone called me to tell me, oh, Dr. Thompson and the political leader and the deputy leader is on. And I say, okay. And I just got a break to eat my lunch, and I say, let me call. I listen in. And Matt, Dr. Thompson Fontaine is so encouraging. This man has a beautiful soul. He's inspiring. I've not seen or heard of this in a long, 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 long time, Matt. Matt, I'm very proud. Matt, I'm honored to be part of the United Workers Party. And, you know, as he said, you know, politics is dynamic. You have an idea today, but tomorrow the political climate doesn't allow you to pursue sometimes something that you said in the past, and then you have to review it, reassess, and then come better. This man is so inspiring. I just want to thank Ms. Dr. Thompson Fontaine for having this approach. And I'm telling you, you are winning hearts, my friend. In fact, I'm getting a lot of calls. I don't have to tell the world how much calls I'm getting. And you expect people to. I'm getting calls, too. With opposition of sometimes his manner in which he approaches things. But more so, while people criticize that, they also say, yes, they are feeling a pulse of hope. They are feeling an array of hope. And we will get results. Everything that you do must be results-oriented. And I believe the approach that he has, of course, to win hearts, first of all. When you win hearts, you grow numbers. And as we always say, politics is a numbers game. How do you win by numbers? Even so, people are contemplating with the electoral reform that is coming. Remember, is what the United Workers Party has been advocating that the government is going to take. You heard them just the other day. You heard the leader of the country said, look, we're going to take these 5 pointers. What are the 5 pointers in him? The very thing that we have been advocating. So if we are not talking, then we would not have them persuaded to do what they are going to do. The important thing is that, what are they going to do? And we need to see what is in the final document before we go to Parliament. But we have to wait. We cannot act out of irrational beliefs and ways. Not what people say. It's not what people say. So, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, let me just say to you, sir, you're on the right track, you are winning hearts, and you are inspiring, sir. This is the most important thing. I wish you all the luck in everything. I wish you God's blessing upon you and your family. Stay strong. We are United Workers Party, and we are going together forward, united. Have a good afternoon.
So good afternoon
Thank
to you.
You.
Good afternoon to you, Glass Glenroy Coffee, the caretaker for the Roseau constituency. Another text message coming in here. There are many coming in, but I'll try to read them one at a time. I love Dr. Fontaine. I love his approach. Cool, calm, and collective. I also like the fact that he's not thinking like Skerritt. Not arrogant, not hostile. Keep up the good work, Dr. Fontaine. I'll be certain to attend the summit at Jungle Bay. Note, I have never voted for the United Workers Party, but I will remain voting against them. Hello, talk to me on the telephone. Yes? Uh-huh. Yeah? Mm. Are you there? Yes, hello.
Hey, Mr. Pelte, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Ronald Charles and Dr. Fountain, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
For you to understand your opponent, you must listen to them. And if you're looking to win hearts and to hell with the rest of the organs, that body will die. I listened to Dr. Fountain talking about the first time he went up, how hostile people in his constituency were to him. But now they're coming around. Very, very, very interesting observation and comment. Because some people think they should not be criticized based on who they are. You can criticize them. So, Dr. Fountain, I want to ask you a question, my brother. Your effectiveness in absentia, how do you measure it? Matt, let me just protect your callers as well. Matt, not just your guests for you to protect. Protect your callers. I asking you that question. Answer me, and then I have a follow-up question.
And make them short blessings. Yes, you can.
Since the year started, I've spent approximately... How many months we are in now? I've spent at least 2 months worth of time on the ground in Grand. In the last year, I spent, if you combine everything, at least 5 months on the ground. So if that is considered to be absentia, then yeah, it's not 12 months of the year, but it's substantive time, enough time to get a sense and to get a feel and to speak to the people. Up to yesterday, I was in Rivière Syrique, meeting with people, visiting their homes and so on. I do that every time I'm here. So, and that's how I know that the attitudes are changing. And absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, quickly. Dr. Fountain, was it a unilateral or collective decision within the structure of the, the executive of the UWP, if I may still say UWP, within the structure of the executive, how many of us took the decision to go to Jungle Bay? That's the next question, and I'll listen via the.
Okay, all right. Let's allow Dr. Fountain to.
Yeah, Matt. I
asked that question before.
Yeah, but basically we have a planning committee that was put together for that purpose, and that's how the decision was made through the planning committee.
So there are senior members of the party who agreed to that initiative.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Okay. Without
but
a doubt.
Matt, don't forget.
Yes.
You see.
Come a little closer.
Yeah. Sorry. Let me just say a couple of things as it relates to this. Because I think sometimes we sometimes don't absorb the objective of an event or the objective of an activity. And we take what I call the threaded parts of it. Right? We take the threaded parts of it. Play ping pong. All right. What is the biggest feature out of the Economic Revival Summit? What is the biggest? But Matt, I'm asking your question. Nobody asked your question. Let me ask you a question. Matt, what do you think it is? No, I say this with laughter, but I'm extremely serious. We have to understand this. When the committee met, there were, and Dr. Thompson spoke of it. Fortium couldn't make it. We have emails from Fortium. They're still constructing a certain area that they would maybe be able to accommodate 80 people. They can call and prove me wrong. The same issue was for the Goodwill Parish Hall. I mean, where else? I think maybe we should have tried maybe
which one?
Kempinski. Maybe it would maybe be much better. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that persons, and rightfully so, I mean, one would, in reflection and in retrospect, one would have to remember that, of course, Mrs. Zamrafael was a little bit hard. on our president and said certain things about him. I mean, and to me, if anybody you say certain things about, they tend to have it, you know, close to their heart. I mean, because it's
you're human,
you know,
you're
a human being, you know, so I understand that. But let us not take away the objective of this. Please, let us not do this. And I will say this again, as it relates to Dr. Thompson Fountain, I'm seen more often on Ireland than anything else. But anyway, just to look at this, the United Workers Party is not about Dr. Thompson Fountain alone. We have a dynamic president. We have a commendable secretary, general secretary in the name of Nicholas George. We have trustees in the line of Mr. Edison James, Ernie John Finn, Mr. Norris Prevost. We have great minds like Alex, Mr. Isaac Baptist. We have Soso, who is brilliant in every field. You know, we have Seeker. We have Clement Marcel, who is trained in management and strategies and all that. We have a big team of solid guys. If Dr. Thompson were to fall tomorrow, God forbid, are we going to say that we are not going to pursue removing this government because the leader is gone? No. And I remember, Dr. Fountain, I don't mean you no harm. I may the good well, Lord continue well, to bless you. All right? I don't mean you harm, but I'm trying to draw a reference. Mm-hmm. It means that the United Workers Party for many years have had formidable men in it. Men with and great, women. Great character.
And women too.
And women. Men yeah. and women, you know? And we will continue to do what we have to do collectively. Dr. Fountain, I've said it. I have said it. In any house that you have, you are in, there are times that you, your wife, your common law, your girlfriend will, you know, make a noise about something. You didn't wash the dishes. You didn't clean the yard properly. Why did you not cover the toilets before you pee? You know, all those things come up, you know. So I know at the end of the day, it's about a family and things. People will not be happy with everything that you do. But Dr. Thompson has what you call a responsibility as political leader, but he's also accountable. You know the difference, Matt? Responsibility. A person may have a responsibility to clean a shop and to vacuum it, etc., etc. And they go to that shop, and one day the vacuum that they use to do their responsibility as a job description, they're unable to use it because it blew off. It's not good anymore. Electrical problems. Are they going to sit there, or are they going to say that they are accountable and therefore find another way to clean the floor? And that is what Dr. Thompson has to do. Right? There is a sense of accountability to Dominicans, you know? And yes, our party is a great party, and yes, we're gonna win the next election, and yes, we're gonna do what it takes. But we must understand that there are certain things that we will do, and we're doing it because we spend time analyzing, strategizing, and doing what it takes to make this country a better place and to bring people on board. You cannot, under no circumstances, believe that because we are this great party, that's it. No, we have to invite, we have to bring people aboard. But not at any cost, huh? Not at any cost. But we have to do what we have to do to make Dominica a better place. And I believe in the leadership of Dr. Thompson, and people say Dr. Thompson Fountain soft. Let me put it, they say he have a passive way of doing certain things, but this is an international strategist. This is a man that is engaged in South Sudan. This is a man that was part of the IMF team. This is a man that was able, when they stole his Grand Four seat by 5 votes, this is a man that is highly respected. And this is a man that I walk through the streets in the Carnival City, in the last Carnival activity, and was able to embrace people. And this is a man, when a fight comes, and I saw it happen during the Carnival, he was able to defuse it, not by going for cutlass or taking a stone, by using his wisdom and being able to tell this gentleman, hey, and they all took a drink and we walked away. All right? He was able to defuse that. So I know what I'm talking about. Mm. So it's not always about this person you see with the cutlass and as they say in it, How you use the word when you're thinking it on the road? I can't remember the term.
They plant coop.
Well, you know, you back on it, but woman.
Plant
coop. Plant
coop. Plant coop.
But I say this to say,
yes,
in everything that you do, you will be faced with challenges. Everybody is an individual and have different perspective on how things should be done. But at the end of the day, the collective and holistic approach is going to make it happen. It's going to make it happen because whatever we do, do not do it for individuals, but for Dominica and for the next generation. And I believe in retrospect, when persons realize what this man is doing for us as a nation, being in our position, we are going to be happy and we are going to say, now I see where you were going, but I didn't see it then. Let's be collective in our movement.
All right, let's take a phone call. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon to you. Dr. Thompson Sonkin and the gentleman from the Valley. Matt Pelty, I am happy to hear the tone that Thompson Sonkin has been using. And it pains me, and I know that Ronald Charles just mentioned it. It pains me to see that our voting population, the shallowness of our thought process and our decision making when we selecting leaders. And Dominica's politics has basically whittled out to colors, blue and red, and that narrative has to stop. And the Dominican people need to understand, here is a gentleman who doesn't have to be in Dominica to earn a living, to make a life. By his example, he's worked with St. Kitts, he's worked with the IMF, he's right now in South Sudan. A black man, a Dominican man, a man of the soil. And we are in a situation in where our economy is in tatters. Our state of affairs is messed up. And it would be a sad state of affairs to see our own people who always talk about support local, support Dominicans, not making the right choice in bringing back people of Dr. Thompson Fontaine's stature, not just stature, but experience to help build the country. At the end of the day, the greatest resources we have is our people, and how you add value to the people is exactly what Dr. Fontaine is demonstrating by his activity and his history. And I for the life of me, I don't understand why we make these simple comparisons about dimples and likability. And so you're telling me a man comes to your house with a jacket and tie and he's a thief. And because a guy comes with a shirt and a pants that's telling you the truth, you're going to take the jacket. And that's the mentality here. But let me share a little experience with you. Matt, I went to a conference for sustainability, and environmental sustainability and development. In one of the cities I live, there were leaders from industry, there were leaders from the various cities. And when these people sit down and plan, they go and they do like a 100-year plan, thinking about the population growth, thinking about the geography in the area, what's the working class, what's the average income in the household, all those things, where we need schools. What is our water supply? What electricity needs we're going to have? All these things they think about, how we design our parks. And this lady, she's a lawyer in the state of Texas, has probably 2 or 3 master's degrees, very, very brilliant. And, she said something that amazed me. She said, you know what, as a city manager, when I hire people, I want to hire people who are smarter than I am because they make my work easier. Because at the end of the day, any one man who thinks because he's got an education or in some position, he has the solution for every problem is a damn fool. And any man who thinks that he has to make a decision for every aspect of our life in society is nothing but a damn fool and a con artist. And I would hope that in a society that is advanced as the United States, somebody who's a lawyer and has so many degrees can tell you, I need people smarter than me. You know why? Because not every smart person, intelligent person, has management skills. But that's okay. And not every mathematician is going to be able to fix your car. But that's okay. And what it says is that there are people, there are gifts and skills. And what we do as good managers is identify those gifts and skills and put them where they are most effective. And a good manager realizes that I am not the only one who's going to solve the solution or the problems in Dominica. And if Dr. Thompson Fontaine can speak that language and let people know that he's not the one who's going to save Dominica, but what he can do is bring people together. And I like the idea that you said you're not serving Dominica for red, blue, or green. And I've said it over and over again. We have to be able to attract the people who are voting the Labour Party to support your cause, because they understand that your decisions, your solutions, your ideas are not just selfish ideas. And I'll tell them why it's not selfish ideas. Because if the fact that Dr. Fontaine can get a job all the way in Sudan and make a life of his own, it tells you he does not have to abuse people. He does not have to steal from the state. He does not have to lie and con his way to be successful.
I'll tell you what, we have to take you out on that note. It's 2:44. Good. Again, good afternoon. Always appreciate your inputs here. But let's take more phone calls. At this time, it's 2:44. Thank you. Hello, yes? I'm here.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Matt, let me give you a little of my experience with Dr. Thompson Fontaine. When I met Thompson Fontaine the first time, that was when we had that big convention at the Marriott Hotel in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I remember.
Right. The day before that, we were at a restaurant, and, well, I said Thompson Fontaine always sitting working. He's never checking, girls, never eating. He's always working. I wonder what kind of guy is this. And one night, Matt, he was coming to Dominica from another state. He had to pass to New York, overnight in Brooklyn by me, and take him to the airport in the morning. I gave him directions how to get to my home on the train.
Okay.
Out in the nighttime. He followed the directions. He got to the train, and he called me. It was around after 10, 11. Matt Thompson Fontaine had two suitcases, a big one and a medium-sized one. He climbed all the subway steps with the two suitcases. I met him at the top of the stairs. I took a smaller one from him. Matt, I'm going to get 1,000 steps. I couldn't move that anymore. I called him. I can't take that. I can't take a bigger one. I can't take a smaller one. Not a bigger one I can't take. The guy just come back, he take it from my hand, and he walk in, and I have to keep up with him. He had a big, heavy suitcase and a medium one. And I empty-handed because he has nothing else I can help him with. The smaller one is too heavy for me. Bring them up my stairs, take out towards rest, take him to the airport. I say, you see this guy there? This guy there, he doesn't make a big scene, not a big wave maker, but he doesn't give up. That's why I know him, Matt. Things are going to change. Thompson Fontaine is going to do with succeed. Many others fail. He's going to win. He's going to be the Prime Minister of Dominica. He's soft, he's quiet, but he doesn't give up. He's not afraid. He never gives up in whatever he's doing, and he's always working. He's into weather, he's into sports, he's into finance, he's into economics, and he does everything well. Tommy Bunkin is going to be the next Prime Minister of Dominica. Mark my words when I tell you that.
All right, caller, thank you. I know you're a great musician and you're a great calypso writer, and of course, We will believe what you say there. 4493095, I have no doubt about you. That was Mr. Pat Aaron there in Dominica. Now, why Dominicans, somebody's asking, why Dominicans continue to raise and discuss non-issues like that while Dominica is burning to the ground? Oh, my God. Ronald and Dr. Fontaine doesn't even need to go there. Let's deal with the bigger picture and where the damn country is at this time period. Politics is local and other strategies on point. Those of us who understand politics will agree with this strategy. Our constitution speaks to representatives of the people. You are only able to represent the people by being on the ground, meeting and speaking with the people. Another point of view there. And let's take another phone call. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, can I speak?
You can, yes.
Oh, yes. First of all, I want to say as we move into the apex of our development, people must stop this myopic sort of attitude. Here it is, the opposition decide to go to a place to have a convention. And people are making noise about the man is a Dominican, everybody can't be on your side. And that is very good of Fontaine's side, that he did not hold any grudge against the man and proceed in there. It's like yesterday when I called on the program, a guy met me. He told me, boy, you join those guys? I said, I don't have to join anybody. It's something you have, you're making a contribution to our radio program.
Mm-hmm.
He's not joining anybody. And it's time that people, the old time days when politicians would say, well, I'm not fixing that road because you're not We have to stop that, and we have to be opening an international kind of circuit. I mean, here it is. When one of the companies here sponsor something, or let's say one of the communication company, they don't want you to go to the other one. But in Special Olympics, we get 100 different communication companies internationally to sponsor, and you've seen all of them thing on the back of the T-shirt. It's time we broaden the horizon and stop this thing. And even finally, some of the people that giving communion in church, they see me and they're watching me in a way as if to say, well, I don't have to join anything. I'm an independent person. A discussion is going on. I can make a contribution. I'm not in a communist country. And people have to break off from that myopic old kind of feeling and understand we have to unite and be together. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, 449. 3095-96-97. Good afternoon. I want to applaud Dr. Fontaine for trying to mend the division that has been caused by the Dominican Labour Party for the past 20 years. I want him to continue to seek employment outside of Dominica, because clearly there's no employment in Dominica for an individual with all that experience and educational background. The same people who want him to face the grunt of what's on the ground are the same people who are now crying that there are no opportunities for themselves as young people. Hello, talk to me on the telephone, yeah? Are you there, caller? No, you're not. Let's move on. 250, yes. Are you there?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Fontaine, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I've been listening to you speaking for the longest while there. And the way you speak, you're very concerned about people. I listen to you attentively, and the way you put people first. And some people, it seems, for you to be a leader, you have to be a militant military man. I don't believe so. You have to love the people, and you have to be with the people. And some people, when they talk, they speak about I, and you don't speak like that. You speak up collectively. You want to bring in the people, for the people, and that's good of you. That's very nice of you. I am not a UWP supporter or any kind of supporter. But the way you speak, I love the way you speak. It is a man for the people, with the people, work with the people. And it's not a I kind of situation. Have a good day, sir.
Have a good day. May I tell the esteemed gentleman, don't forget Paul Small. Paul Small is vulnerable and is ready to change Dr. Fontaine.
That's good news. That's really good, you know.
And
we'll continue to pursue all opportunities, all options. That's the way to go.
Let's take a voice note there. We have 9 more minutes with Dr. Fontaine and Ronald Charles.
Good afternoon, Matt, and good afternoon to your panel. It's just amazing that, people have a problem with the fact that function that the UWP has, it's going to be held at Jungle Bay. The man is a Dominican. The man has what they need. So what are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? Not use him because, you know, he supports the Labour Party? Come on. It's just like with Christian people. You know, it's sad to say it, but we figure that we're not supposed to support anybody that's a non-Christian. But let's be honest, the people that are Christians, they don't have it to give. They don't have the businesses, they don't have the finances to do what needs to be done. And it's the same thing from what I'm hearing. It sounds like the same problem. The man has a place, why not use it? You catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. So go to the man place. If he has what you need, you do what you need to do. Who knows? You might win him over. You might win him over. Just by that, letting him see that, you know what, it's not about this, it's about the country, you may win him over. So all those that have a problem with that, come on, this is what you guys have a problem with. You don't have a problem with Scary getting 30% raise and giving his people 20%. You don't have a problem with somebody else controlling the money of Dominica, a foreigner controlling the money of Dominica. You don't have a problem with everything else. All you're paying $64,000 a month in rent for a prime minister, but you have a problem with the UWP holding a function at another Dominican's place of business. Come on. Like, seriously, we have worse things to worry about. The country's in shambles. People dying left, right, and center in the Dominica China Fridge, whatever they call it, in the hospital. Like, this is what you guys concerned about? Like, seriously? Come on, people. There's bigger fish to fry than that. Thank you, Matt.
Well, clearly from the calls I've gotten this afternoon, it seems clear that everybody is giving their approval of the economic summit taking place at the Jungle Bay Resort from June 4th to the 6th. On the telephone, good afternoon to you. We have 6 more minutes. Hello, talk to me. Yeah,
Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, yes?
Matt, but in the interest of time, protocol has been established. Matt, this is like the last voice note you played there, Matt. This is exactly why we are concerned about that. Because Sam Raphael, Matt, is not just any other Dominican. That is the point we need to make. Sam Raphael is a Dominican, Matt, who is an advocate, a top public relations man for Roosevelt's Kerrit, the man who is missing our billion, the man who is not giving us electoral reform, the man who is receiving $74,000 a month from taxpayers' money for his house rent, the man who is giving himself how much salary percent increase while the public servants are not getting.
So this is the reason why you don't want Dr. Thompson Fountain or UWP to hold that function there at the resort?
Matt, that is sending a very bad sign for the people, the base of the United
States. Well, let me give you advance notice, my friend Brian. I guess because I don't want that conversation to continue too long. Mr. Sam Raphael will be a guest on Q95. Mr. Sam Raphael will be a guest on Q95 on Tuesday afternoon. So you have a chance to ask him and tell him all your concerns. That's what I'll tell you. Will you be available to ask the questions directly to Sam Raphael?
Yeah, Matt, if you have been following Q, Matt, I, along with Blessings, are the key person who shut down Sam Raphael on the other side program, Matt. Always calling Sam, always interacting with Sam, Matt.
Well, feel free on Tuesday, Brian, to ask Sam all the questions, okay? 2:56, we don't have too much time. Hello, talk to me, yes?
Yes, my brother.
Good afternoon.
We don't have time for that, Pacho. What we're doing there now, what Thompson's trying to do is to bring the people together. So let me warn United Workers Party supporters. It's not about Thompson Fountain. It's not about Sam Raphael. Let's wait to hear how the function going to go and what that's going to happen. That's a very good thing. Sam might be changing his mind because he might be not getting money or whatever, and he decide to work his United Workers Party on the table. You don't know what is happening. Let's not fight against one another. Thompson doing good. What I would like, Mr. Bryan, it's for you to call Lennox and ask Lennox if he's in favor of that, because I don't hear Lennox saying nothing. Right now it's Thompson. Lennox did a lot, I am not saying no, but it seems to me that, to me, the cowboy man, and Lennox, I send that direct to you, it seems to me that when it's really now to really unite, to get things together, it seems the leader business is you and Thompson. It seems to me that it have a problem. I would like to now submit for correction. Now, Mr. Thompson, I would like to ask you now if Lennox is getting involved in that function up by Sam Raphael. Case closed. Bam.
you can answer the question directly.
It's a United Workers Party event, man, and he's the president of the party,
And he's welcome to participate.
Of course.
All right, somebody says, Matt, please tell him to go to Dodan. It's in the constituency of Portsmouth. We need someone to represent Dodan, okay? All right, on the telephone, more telephone calls, 2:57. Hello, talk to me, yeah? Are you there?
Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon to you.
Matt.
I'm here.
If the supporters of the United Workers Party believe they can win an election with the same amount of votes they get last election, let it be. But one thing I will make them understand, for you to win an election, you have to go to the homes of the people that did not vote for you. That's the only way, because the Labour Party right now have more freedom rights inside of it than Labour rights themselves. So if United Workers Party believe they can win with Marigot alone, and Marigot is 11 seats, let it be. But I'll be sorry for them if they continue with that same behavior. Bye.
Bye-bye. 258 is the 259 right now and 4 seconds.
Hello, hello. Greetings, Matt. Greetings, Matt.
Greetings to you, bro.
And greetings to Dr. Thompson Fontaine and Mr. Charles.
Good evening.
Yes,
you know, this is Trinity here.
Yes.
Yeah, man. So I just want to say, you know, enough respect to Dr. Thompson Fontaine and to Mr. Charles, because these people there, these guys there, let me tell you, these guys are very down to earth. And a lot of people gravitate to these men, you know, and these are people we want on our side. These are the people we want for Dominica, you know, to lead and to be of good example, you know. So I really want to big them up. I listen in, and it's very interesting conversation, you know. So I'm there keeping tune. So just keep up the good work, Mr. Fontaine and Mr. Charles. Enough respect to you.
Thank
and
you.
And to Mr. Belkey as well.
Thank you. Thank you as well. Somebody saying, man, it's the likes of these kind of supporters of the UWP that will drive people away. Would they prefer the economic summit to be held on Donkey Beach or Sam's Gutter? This is unnecessary attack on Thompson Fontaine's genuine efforts, okay? Our final call, and we'll allow Dr. Thompson Fontaine to wrap up, and of course, our friend from the Valley. Hello, talk to me.
Matt, bonjour, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Isaac Baptiste, I joined your program very, very late, so yeah. I have a final question. But is it my understanding that the majority of the people who are opposing the United Workers Party holding a function at Jungle Bay, it is really supporters of the party?
From some supporters of the UWP.
So the argument that, let's assume that is true, the argument that we were accusing the United Workers Party, because I'm a United Workers Party person, the United Workers Party said it was bad politics for the nation, for the former president of Dominica to have called people to
boycott,
not to go to Brisbane, boycott Brisbane, and therefore cause the demise of the Brisbane. Is it that they are asking that we do the same to Jungle Bay? Baba Bonte, hey, those of you doing that, please just look at yourselves. And is it really Jungle Bay you want to attack, or the political leader of the United Workers Party? Be careful.
All right. And on that note, that was the former president of the United Workers Party. I got to allow Ronald to wrap up.
Yes.
And then Dr. Thompson Fontaine.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. And thank you for bringing me here. And of course, it's always a pleasure to be alongside the next prime minister of Dominica with good health, you know, and his focus. And as we say, he's the still water that's going to cause damage like Erica. But having said that, I want to say, you know, I want to reach out to my constituents. And I say my constituents, although it's not official. I know my daddy is listening, and my mother. So I want to tell them, you know, stay strong. He's not feeling 100, but I'm sure that knee will be fine by the time I get home this afternoon. Of course, all the constituents of Cochrane, Wharton, Waven, Mount Prospect, Trafalgar, Loda, Lily Valley, Coptall, and just name it, the entire constituency. Thank you for the support, and thank you for just being, you know, part of this, you know, this avalanche of change. And I continue to remain focused on what we have to do as a people. I always say to people that, of course, the other side has one way of doing things, attacking people's character, trying to destroy them, trying to bring them down. But I believe with consistency and, you know, your vision for a better Dominica, as I say, the rain will pour today and it will subside tomorrow. And the calmness of the sea will soon be there. And Dr. Thompson Fontaine is next.
You sound like a poet.
But I try. I start.
He's waxing the lyrical.
Matt, at the end of the day, all I want to say is we will have differences. I mean, it's understandably so. I mean, we will have different opinions. We will have different ways of looking at things. But I just want to urge all our supporters that we have a great team in the likes of our president, who is the president of the United Workers Party, a great executive who works hard, and of course a good and fantastic political leader who is going to bring all of this together. And God bless all your listeners. God bless you. God bless this station. And thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Fontaine?
Yes, Matt, thank you very much. Let me just remind the listeners that our vision as the United Workers Party is to continue to ensure that every Dominican have an opportunity to fulfill their dreams from hard, smart work, and that the opportunities that we offer them to take their rightful place in our society and also to build Dominica. And this conference, this summit, on the 4th to the 6th, we invite your participation. Also, the awards dinner will be awarding 9 outstanding Dominicans for their service to country on the night of the 4th. And let me just say, Matt, that this is just one of the many initiatives that we have cooking. In addition to this initiative, there will be 3 of your major initiatives that we are beginning to conceptualize and to bring into fruition. And as soon as they are ready, as soon as they are baked, we're not going to sell anything half-baked to Dominicans. As soon as it is baked, we'll be revealing to the population. Mm-hmm. So get the tongues wagging, because a lot more to come from the leadership of the United Workers Party.
Dr. Thanks Thompson Fontaine, safe journeys. Good afternoon to you. Yeah.